Father, thank you for your word. Father, your word is life to those that find it, health to all of our flesh. Lord, your word is better than life. Lord, we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight. We praise you tonight. And Lord, we're just going to receive this word with joy. Yeah, let's just seek the Lord for a moment. I just don't feel like we're done. Let's just go ahead and just take a few moments to pray. Oh, let's go ahead and just pray. Father, we pray for that marriage. Father, we pray for that marriage. Lord, we pray for that marriage. Father, that it would be strengthened. And Lord, it must be strengthened with truth. It must be strengthened with truth. It must be strengthened with truth. Oh, Father, we praise you. No, not that way. You'll have to lay down that thinking. And the offenses. You'll have to lay those down. Lord, we just lift that marriage before you. That, Father, that you would have your way in that family. Lord, that you would have your way in that home. That you would have your way in the hearts of those parents. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, that they would be strengthened, that their faith would fail not. Father, we just bless you. Bless you tonight. We glorify you, Father. Oh, we worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Yeah, yeah, tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. Be quick to repent. Be quick to take responsibility. Be quick to repent. Be sincere and tender-hearted. Confess your faults one to another, that you be healed. Confess your faults one to another, that you be healed. Father, we just pray. We just say that home, I see the enemy trying to tear it apart. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Father, we ask for mercy. Mercy, Lord God. Right thinking, tender-heartedness. Right thinking. Oh, thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. 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 Glory to you, Father. Praise your holy name. Father, you are so faithful and you're so good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, that would be avoided. That'll be avoided. That can and will be avoided. Tenderheartedness. 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 Stubbornness is not of God. Tenderheartedness is the spirit of the Lord. Stubbornness. Your self-insistence. Father, we pray. We pray, Lord God, we ask you to be merciful in that relationship. Father, draw them. Draw them. Draw them. Lord God, blessed is your name. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we just take this moment to seek you. Whatever we have to do, pray out. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lovey, do you have anything? Do you have anything? Yeah. That heartbreak will give way to joy. And it does not have to be a story of sadness. It can be a story of victory and overcoming. But there's choices and decisions that have to be made. And the time is now to make them. You have more. You have more. It'll be born of the Spirit. It'll come as a labor of prayer and dedication. For what you've been doing has not been working. It's because it's been under your own strength. For when you give yourself to the Spirit and you sit down and meditate in the Word, I will reach down and you will take my hand and you will be lifted up and brought into the place that you're supposed to be. And it will save you. It will spare you the heartache and the hurt.
Bristo busho pre kipa kabashtandre. It's the gasta pre bibeshta sumrobobo badinga. Brashand, stakand, a song, habresht, hikip, hakond, hashatr, hasek, habrond, ajdabr, gebed, azoka, hikambre, esti, o shoke, o sondongonda, drepi dibasti probobosto to zabripi kibadashtambra koso do shundra dange. That's the ganda.
And there will be steps to take, and there will be assignments along the way. And every time you complete one assignment, a new one will be revealed to you. But there's things that you must do. You must go back. You must correct. And there's relationships that you must correct. For you have not carried yourself in an honorable way. And you must go back and repair that relationship so you can move forward. And as you move forward, you will embrace the plan that the Lord has for you to walk out. And a great measure of grace will come upon you. And you will be shielded from the plan of the enemy, that he lies in wait to jump and to stalk and to pounce upon your life. But it can all be averted. It can all be stopped if you will make that decision right here, right now.
Now, sobroshe da kanda brosote best gosh dong no so shiki baganda naka sondish.
Now come up out of that thinking. Now come up out of that thinking. For you have stayed and remain in that thinking for far too long. It is time to cast down those thoughts. It is time to take authority over that spirit of fear. It is time to set things in place and to set your life in order. For when you do this, the Lord will move in and he will set your steps in motion and you will be protected, you will be provided for, and it will give way to a whole new level of grace. You will sense it. You will be refreshed like never before. Your home will flourish. Your marriage will be in order. Your children's lives will be blessed and refreshed. So come up and come out of that way of thinking, for you've stayed in it far too long.
Brett and Andrew, could you come up here? I have a tongue interpretation. He needs to be over here. Okay. Can we get an usher for her? Now, sofra savanda sevriki bada basta koshomro begi, noga sabranda anda sheki, it's de gastanga shongo bronga gombro gonda goes de bronga bonga dronga donga zombro gonda goes de godonga gagonda 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 gason adan an an e anga an. No, as brish a brak a sanda seba osho what these to can what these today what do you to gasa what do you to geisha gay that's to ka how the shadoka sabra that the histaka adas deka has dao work us to work out.
And there's going to be the right words that are going to be given to you, and there'll be words of the Spirit, and there'll be words that you have known and things that you have been taught in your past, and it's time to start releasing those things. It's time to start speaking those things. And be careful. And be very, very careful about the same old path or the same way that things have been done. For you will speak words of life and you'll speak words of faith, and things are going to break off from your life. Things are going to give way to a new season of fruit. There's a new season of flourishing. But you will have to walk in it. You will have to lay hold of it and move forward. For the plan is very, very bright. Oh, braste kipra basotura mandi se kipra. Oh, sokobra bandi se kipra este kipra pado sokumra mante este kipra. Oh, sokumra mandi se kipra ke deste kipra mano sokobotis. Oh, doro bandi se kipra bandi se kipra mano sokumaste. Oh, dora mandi se kipra bate se kimandos. Oh, dore basta ka mandi se kipra gadoso. Oh, Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom. Father, I thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Father, you are so faithful and so good. You are so faithful and so good. Lord, we just thank you. Father, as I lay my hands on this man of God, Lord, I thank you for wisdom. I thank you, Lord, for clarity. For leading. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Come on, everybody. Let's just worship the Lord. Father, we glorify you. We glorify you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Father, you are faithful. Father, we just worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your kindness. Father, thank you for the help. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. Come on, everybody. Let's just take a moment and just worship him. Father, we're just still yielded to you. Father, we know there's things that have been said. We've ministered to individuals now. And now, Lord, we just are still yielded. We just yield. Father, we just bless you. We're not trying to order this any certain way. Father, we're just yielded to your Spirit. We're just yielded to your Spirit. Lord, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. Father, you are so good. You are so good. You are so faithful. Yes, 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 yes. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yes, decisions to make. Decisions to make. Decisions to make. decisions to make. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Father, there's decisions to make. Decisions to make in our personal lives. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Come on, everybody, let's just worship him. We glorify you. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless you. We bless you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. We want to walk with you. Yeah. 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 Praise you, Father. Lord God, we just as a church, we want to walk with you. We want to walk with you. Lord, we want you to walk in us. Blessed is your name. Praise you, Lord God. 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 Blessed is your name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Praise God. Praise God. Reverend Justin, will you come forward, please? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. Blessed is your name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Blessed is your name. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, your grace and your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. You lead this man of God. You lead this man of God. Yeah. 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 Praise the Lord. Yeah. You'll know it. You'll see it. There's no need to wonder. You'll know it and see it. It'll be obvious. It'll be obvious and clear. It'll be obvious and clear. Thank you, Father. We just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Oh, bless you, Lord. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Reverend Tony, can we go back into singing that holy? Let's just sing of the holiness of God. Can we just worship in that song again, what we ended with? Yeah.
Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
God, we just praise you. We glorify you tonight. Yes. Father, we're just so grateful to be here. Father, we just bless you. We worship you. We honor you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. Yeah. Lord, we understand that we're in a very active time on the earth right now. And Lord God, we're just going to be prepared and we're going to be faithful. Lord, we're going to be diligent. Lord, I think it's safe to say that every single one of us could be more diligent. I think it's safe to say that we all could take a step further and press in. Lord God, you are faithful and good. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you. There's going to be things that we're going to have to add to our faith. Things that we're going to need to add. Yeah. We're going to need to add the right things and push out the wrong things. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we'll share it. We'll share it. Just worship him. Father, we just bless you, Lord God. We glorify you. We receive your word with joy here tonight. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Father God. Blessed is your name. Father, we'll get into that word. We'll get into it. And Father, we'll be faithful to it. Thank you. Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to get into the word here for a little bit. Is it all right if we get into the word of God here tonight? Wow, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I came to church tonight. How about you? Praise the Lord. You know, I knew all day, and I understand now the direction that we're going to go, but I just knew all day, like, you know, the service wasn't just going to start in, you know, and just go through some kind of, you know, pre-planned format or something like that. How many of you know we got to yield to the Spirit of God? Amen. Go with me. There's just some things we're going to share. This isn't going to be necessarily full length here, but you know what? We'll just do whatever the Spirit of God wants us to do. Amen. Go over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to talk about some things to add to our faith. To add to our faith. You know, and this is something that I didn't plan on saying, this specific statement here, you know, as we were getting ready. And I said it as we were praying there. You know, sometimes we have to add the right things so the wrong things get moved out. You know what I mean? You know, I'm just going to use an illustration that comes to my mind. You know, and I, you know, it's just something that, you know, I have experience with. It's just, you know, how many of you know God will speak to you in things, and yeah, in things that you've done or your experiences or whatever. You know, when you have a car and maybe it's got some age on it and it's getting older and the radiator, you know, can start to get, you know, all junked up on the inside and your car will start to have an overheating problem and you got to flush the radiator. You know, what you do, you know, it's not just a matter of like opening up the drain at the bottom and taking the old junky water out or the old junky coolant and putting new in. What you have to do is that you have to, you know, yeah, you do drain the radiator, but then you've got to get the rest of it out by putting a hose right in the top of that radiator and just letting fresh water just flow through that radiator. And, you know, as it starts to churn stuff up, it'll look muddy and cloudy, but as more fresh water just keeps getting put into it, more fresh water gets put into it, all of a sudden it'll get a little clearer, a little clearer, a little clearer, a little clearer. You know what I mean? It doesn't just instantly all become clear, perfectly clean radiator. But as, you know, sometimes it'll take a half hour, an hour. I'll just, you know, stick a hose right in that radiator. You look down in there, like, eh, it's still a little muddy. Keep letting it go. But as more and more fresh water keeps getting in, the clearer and clearer it becomes until the contaminants are just pushed out. Just pushed out. Folks, we're going to have to add some things, you know, to our faith so that some things can get pushed out. And folks, when we say that, it's not like, you know, it's aimed at one specific person. This is something that we all can do. It's something that we all need to do. And the scripture makes it very clear that we're supposed to add to our faith. Now, we've been talking a lot about faith lately, haven't we? How many of you know, though, faith needs things to be added to it, qualities that have to be added to it. We're not going to go through this. This is partial of what I had on my heart to share. There's some directions we're going to go and some directions we're not going to go. Just not, a, you know, for the sake of time, but just we're being led a little different way. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm in the Amplified here. And so I'm going to read from the Amplified. Can we go ahead? And of course, I know we don't have our overhead. Praise the Lord. I know not everybody has an Amplified with them. You can follow along. I really want to read, especially there's a couple of verses in this passage in the Amplified that are just overwhelming. They're just so good. Praise the Lord. All right. In verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle. Now remember, the Amplified Bible is going to draw out a lot of the original Greek of the New Testament. That's why these words are added, because they are the literal definitions of these words. You know, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle, and that's just the definition of an apostle, a special messenger. That's what the word apostle means. It means a sent one or a messenger. A servant and apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received and obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? I just want to stop at this. This isn't, you know, my message tonight or anything. But notice that, you know, the scripture says that we have obtained the same precious privilege as Peter did. You know, sometimes Peter, you know, people start thinking, well, if someone's an apostle or someone's a minister, even in these days, they have some kind of special access to God. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the word is telling you, you have the same access, the same privileges, the same promises as even the apostle Peter had. No, you might not be in that office. No, you might not have that calling or the anointing to stand in that office, but you have the same privileges, you know, an equal right to God, just as Peter did. And it says in verse 2, Peter says, may grace, God's favor, and peace. Listen to what the definition of peace is. Peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We're going to come back to that definition of peace. Wow. We're going to look at that again. Let's just read the passage. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things. Everyone say all things. How many things have you been given in Christ? All things. Sounds a lot like Romans 8:32. He spared not Jesus and he gave you all things. He gave you enough to have a wonderful home life, a wonderful work life, wonderful children, you know, life with your kids. Amen. He's given you everything. He's given me everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by into his own glory and excellence and virtue. By means of these, God has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through God's promises, you and I may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers and partakers of the divine nature. Holy cow, that sounds really good, doesn't it? Yes. Amen. Are you here tonight? Boy, get fired up for what God has given you. Amen. You can have the divine nature of God. You can live free from the corrupt and rottenness of this world. It says in verse 5, for this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, you and I employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and exercising virtue, develop knowledge and intelligence. Can you go over to the King James now? Read, I want you to see verse 5 in the King James so you can understand what we talk about by adding to our faith. It says in the King James, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, add knowledge. All right. And so now the scripture is telling us these things to add to our faith. All right. Now go back to verse 6 in the Amplified. It says, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, and endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness and piety. And when you exercise godliness, in verse 7, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. Verse 8 is the last verse we'll read. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you or prevent you from being idle or unfruitful until the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, and when Jesus comes. So folks, we're supposed to add these qualities to our faith. All right, let's go back to verse 2. Are you here tonight? Yes. Are you ready to receive this? Yes. Folks, this is a message that's tailor-made for us right here, right now, all right? And no, it's not gonna be all that long. But look at verse 2. It says, may grace, God's favor. How many of you have God's favor here tonight? Yes, if you're his child, you do have his favor. Now, when we read verse 2, if we're not careful, we'll just think it's some kind of, a salutation in the word, just like Peter's just trying to say some nice things or trying to say niceties or something like that. These are not just pleasantries from God. These are things that are his will, his desire, and his promise. When the scripture says, may grace, God's favor, and peace abound to you, that means that God wants these things for you. He wants them for you more than you and I could ever imagine he wants them. But notice it says that grace is God's favor and peace. Look at this. Literally, when you read the Amplified Bible, when you see the rounded parentheses, that literally means that it's going to give you a specific definition for what that word means in the original Greek language. All right? You need to understand, like if you have an Amplified Bible, if you see a scripture, if there's squared off parentheses in there, all right, we just have, yeah, see the square ones down there, the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God? The square ones mean that they were added through a thought of a Bible scholar that was trying to convey the thought of the original word, okay? So the square parentheses are trying to give us the idea. But when you see the rounded parentheses, the square brackets are more of the ideas of man, but the round parentheses is a literal definition of what that word means in its original language. And that's why I say if you can only get one study aid for the Bible, get an Amplified Bible. And now look at this, may grace and peace. Now look at this definition for what peace is. Peace is that perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Wow, isn't that a definition right there? I mean, it's written right there if you're taking notes. And if you've ever wanted to know what peace is, there it is. You can write that down. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say this. I truly believe that peace within the believer's life is at an all-time low. I don't mean just, in this group. I'm sure, this is a real steadfast, faithful group of people for God and all that. I'm just saying, generally speaking, peace amongst God's people across the world, you know, is at an all-time low, and I would dare say especially within our society. Peace is at an all-time low, and here's why. It's going to talk about what we need to add to our faith. We need to remember this. Faith cannot operate outside an environment of peace. Faith will always produce rest. Rest is just another way of saying the peace of God, all right? But if we do not have rest, meaning the scripture tells us over there, you know, Hebrews chapter 4, you know, we're very familiar that they would not enter into God's rest because of unbelief, all right? And so we know this, that when we truly are in faith, it'll produce rest, all right? Rest is just another way of saying peace. And we need to remember, faith does not and cannot operate in an environment that's void of peace, all right? And so let's look at this definition of what peace is. Then we can take this definition and also know what peace is not, all right? It says, peace is that perfect well-being, all necessary good. I love that word, necessary good. Necessary good, all right? All spiritual prosperity and all freedom from fears and agitating passions. Isn't that interesting? That word agitating, it means to be disturbed or shook. All right. That's what that means. Amen. It means to be stirred and disturbed, agitated and shook. Free from, it says, perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, freedom from fears and agitating passions, and moral conflicts. Think about what moral conflicts are. Moral conflicts are, you know, should I do this for God? Or, you know what I mean? When we're tempted to not put God first. A moral conflict is when we know what to do, but our flesh has convinced us not to do it. All right? Moral conflict. Meaning it's just simple temptation to not put God first in our life. We come across this all the time, all right? So a faith is only going to operate in an environment of peace. So we see what peace is, so now we know what a deficiency of peace is. A deficiency of peace comes from choosing unnecessary things over prospering our spirit. Choosing unnecessary things instead of prospering our spirit. Now, folks, that doesn't mean you can't have a natural life. Having a natural life and enjoying life is very necessary. But there's going to be things, and I don't know what's unnecessary in your life. You know, I don't know that. And it's not my job, nor would I ever go and try to tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing in your life. But we've all got to seek God to a point where it's very clear to us what's necessary in our life and what is unnecessary in our lives. Because if we're chasing too many unnecessary things, all right, if we're pursuing agitating passions, that means things you want to do, but they just keep you moving all the time, so now you don't have any peace or spiritual prosperity with God. Are you getting a hold of this? The deficiency of peace, I truly believe, is at an all-time high amongst God's people. It comes from choosing unnecessary things over prospering our spirit. All right? It means that we're always stirring or disturbed. You know, we've added things that are always keeping us stirred or moving or overactive around things that have zero purpose. And we can get hung up on choosing something over God. How many of you know choosing something over God is a moral conflict? You know, it can come down to something as simple as, you know, a moral conflict. And folks, when I use these same examples over and over, my goal is not to beat somebody over the head with it. But when we just choose things that, you know, don't matter much over the things of God. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, it's 20 degrees out and icy, and here you are, right? You know, so, I mean, these are just things that the Lord is having us to be, you know, having us to say. But when we choose things that have no eternal purpose over something that does have eternal purpose, it's costing us our peace. If we're so stirred up over just our own natural desires, where we start putting natural desires, folks, again, I don't know what it is in your life. I know what it is in my life. I know what the things that I could be tempted to put in front of God in my life. And you know what? As soon as I even take a little step in that direction, the Holy Ghost shows me. So I don't believe for one second that we don't know what is unnecessary in our life. When people say, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this or not supposed to do it. Well, you know, it does take time to seek God. Don't misunderstand me. But we should know those things. We should know. The second I start moving into an unnecessary direction, it isn't long before I hear the arresting of the Spirit of God saying, nah-uh-uh. And even sometimes we hear the nah-uh-uh, and we still take a few more steps. Well, wait, let's see if he, wait, is he really telling me that's unnecessary? You know, we might test it a little bit and maybe take it too far. But folks, I don't believe for one second that we don't know what's unnecessary in our lives. Amen. The things that we're tempted to put over things that have eternal purpose. Folks, yes, have a natural life. Yes, have hobbies. Yes, go hunting. Yes, play some sports. Yes, whatever it is, you know, in your life, be blessed with it, right? Just do not choose it over the eternal things of God. Amen. It is that simple. But we lose peace when we are unnecessarily chasing things that just keep us moving all the time. And when we give in and we sit there and we still get hung up on moral conflicts. How long is it going to take a Christian to learn how to tithe? You know, tithing is just a simple moral conflict. To tithe or not to tithe. God says to do it. The flesh says not to. You know what that is? That's a moral conflict. Your peace will rush to you when you start making choices God's way. Amen. You know, and again, you're here on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. So I might as well just, you know, quit and be done because you're here. Praise the Lord. But we need to hear this. Amen. When people are spending all their time on social media, people are hung up on the news, right? We think it's just physical activity. I know so many believers, they're so mesmerized by the news all the time. Is there something wrong with watching the news? No, but getting yourself stirred and agitated. Folks, we watch the body of Christ get so blinded by political things that nobody in the body of Christ had any clarity of what may happen. You know what I mean? Because why was that? They got stirred up. That was cloudy water. It was like the dirty water in the radiator. We're supposed to be still and at peace and not choosing all this unnecessary stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I mean, my goodness, people could still be struggling with simple moral conflicts, like whether or not they should stop drinking, whether or not they should stop smoking, whether or not they should actually go to church on a Sunday morning. You know, how many of you know, I believe going to church is necessary. Amen. I believe praise and worship is necessary. I believe that tithing and serving, amen, is necessary. There's some people trying to decide whether or not they should show up to church on time. Of course, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. All right. There's some people that are still caught up with the idea that their job is more important than God. Your job is never important to God. I've quit jobs for God. Amen. And then God hired me. Praise the Lord. You know, I know that we laugh at that when I say that, you know, and that doesn't mean everyone's going to get hired into the ministry. But I'll tell you what, when you put God first at all costs, it might seem to keep you low for a while, but you wait and see what God does for you. Wait and see what God will do for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, add to your faith. Let's talk about this now. Go down there. And of course, we had to start with peace because if you don't have an environment of peace, your faith isn't going to work anyway. Folks, we can't be so agitated, so stirred, so disturbed, you know, where we're moving. I truly believe so many families, and we've seen a level of this in this church. I understand that, you know, a lot of these families are all coming into that same, you know, time of life together, having kids that are toddler age all the way up to teenage age. and beyond. There's a lot of things that will keep us moving all the time. But folks, we have got to have quiet time at home. There's got to be evenings where people aren't running out, you know, every night. You know, there's got to be times, and I know this sounds right out of the Waltons or right out of Little House on the Prairie, you know, but we need to sit down, have a meal, bow our heads, kick the phones away from the table, get all the devices shut off, get that TV shut off. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy some entertainment, but at what level does it start to become unnecessary? You know, it's not about you can't have any of these things. Find out what level is just unnecessary. Because it is the unnecessary things that come in and start to steal our peace and our spiritual prosperity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So obviously your faith alone can't get it done. Obviously we need these supplements because the scripture says that we need to add some things to our faith. All right, and we're just going to go and take a look at a couple, and then, of course, we'll be led, but we're just going to take a look at a couple of things here. Now, go to verse 5. Bring it up. You could go to the, it doesn't matter. Go to the Amplified. It says, for this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue. Or literally, the King James says, and take your faith and add virtue to your faith. Here's the first thing that we're going to talk about real quickly that you need to add to your faith. And I know this seems simple, and I'm preaching it on a Wednesday night, right? And, you know, we take these things for granted. We can't take them for granted. Number one thing we add, the word virtue, do you know the definition of the word virtue? Excellence. Excellence. Oh, boy, it's going to get quiet here. Folks, I'm going to talk about some things that might stir some people up. They might get downright mad to hear this. Folks, this is not about legalism. This is not about, you know, trying to, you know, root into your personal life and stuff like that. But the word, you know, virtue, it means excellence or literally spiritual excellence. You can see in these scriptures, in the Amplified, it defines that word virtue as excellence. That word excellence, are you ready? It literally means this. It means dependable, trustworthy, loyal, honorable, or literally what you place value on, all right? Or literally who you place value on. So I'm going to say that again. That word excellence, it means dependable, it means trustworthy, it means loyal, it means honorable. Think about this. God says, hey, take your faith now and add trustworthiness to it. Put it along with your faith because your faith without these things is incomplete. Your faith without these supplements it's not going to work. You can't just repeat words of faith that you heard from your pastor or from another minister or you read in somebody's book, right? Amen. Absolutely. You're going to have to take and add these qualities. Because these things, you could say this, they're kind of like the heart or the soul of faith. You know what I mean by that? Having true, genuine qualities. Excellence or virtue, again, I'm going to repeat it again. It means dependable, trustworthy, loyal, honorable, and who and what you place value on. So you could say it this way. The scripture is saying, add to your faith. Add dependability, add trustworthiness, which again, I'm preaching to the choir here. I look at all you guys and you just are wonderful people. But I think we all need this. Amen. Let me rephrase that. I know we all need this. Excellence. It says add to your faith, add dependability, add to your faith trustworthiness, add to your faith loyalty. Amen. Add to your faith being honorable and make sure you place the right value on the right people and the right things. Add excellence and virtue to your faith. Now, see, when you walk in excellence, being moral is just part of walking in the spirit of excellence. You know what I mean? We shouldn't have to tell believers, hey, don't smoke, don't drink, don't swear, don't cuss. We shouldn't have to tell Christians that. Because when you add excellence, you know, when you add virtue to your faith, virtue does not take joy in profanity. Virtue does not take joy in, you know, smoking cigarettes and drinking booze. All right? We better at least get beyond that level of excellence where we put down that stuff. Amen? Amen. Excellence begins with simple things. Let's talk about a simple thing that you can do to put value on something or somebody. How about be on time? Amen. Be on time. You say, well, Pastor, you just want us to be on time for church. No, be on time to your job. Be on time for your spouse. Let them boss you around a little bit. No, I'm just saying, I'm kidding. My wife doesn't do that. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Why? Because being on time is a way, it isn't just a matter of you know, being there for when something starts. Because when you're on time for something, you're placing value on it. You're placing value on it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And here you are. You're all here early on Wednesday. So, Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because this is what I'm led to preach. Amen. You place value on what you're on time for and who you're on time for. Amen. See, people think, well, I'm just, you know, listen, folks, I'm not talking about being late if, you know, you got caught in weather. We're not talking about you got stuck in your driveway because of snow or your tire went flat or your car broke. You know what I mean? Things that just come up where you were on time and then something unexpected happened. We're talking about a habitual issue of, you know, of always not being there where you're supposed to be. And I'm not talking about just church. This is just a whole life thing, right? But when somebody has that constant problem where they never show up on time, it's because that is a symptom of a bigger problem. It is a symptom of a bigger problem, all right? Why? Because it's a matter of value. It's a matter of value. Amen. I'm on time for church because I value church. And you're on time for your job because you value that job. You know, if your spouse is depending on you, you're on time because you value them. Amen. That's just one example of some simple things that we can do, amen, to show value. Glory to God. Excellence simply means to give your best for the best. Meaning give the best for the best things in your life. You know, what are the best things in your life? Your spouse. Amen. What are the best things in your life? You know, your church. The best things in your life, you know, that you're grateful for, your job. Praise the Lord. Your family. Praise the Lord. Because when you have value for something, it moves you. It'll bring you to do right. Amen. Value moves you. Here's another just example of what it means to have the spirit of excellence. The spirit of excellence will make a servant out of somebody. Amen. Amen. When I got born again, and folks, I'm just using examples out of my life. I'm not saying I'm the end all be all. All right, I'm just using examples. But when I got born again, it was almost instantly I knew that I wanted to serve. It was like I got born again and my wife and I, we were in Stockton Community Church, and it was just like, you know, Pastor Hamilton up there, you know, we just went right to him. Pastor, what can we do around here? What can we do around here, you know? And we started out in ministry by handing out Cheerios to toddlers at the Awana program. Amen. And happy to do it. Yep. Setting up tables. We weren't even allowed. They wouldn't allow us to run the games. We were, amen. They didn't. They had to test us out. Amen. That's right. That was the right thing. We were just there pouring little Dixie cups of Kool-Aid. Oh, there it is, see? We were pouring the Kool-Aid from the beginning. Woo-hoo! People say, oh, that church is a bunch of Kool-Aid drinkers. Oh, I know. I've been pouring Kool-Aid since I was first thing in ministry I did, putting out little Cheerios and things like that. But the point is that we were saved for, I mean, literally moments, and there was something in us that wanted to serve. Amen. Wanted to serve. People say, well, Pastor, I don't know, I'm just not interested. I don't have the time for that. Folks, I'm gonna be honest. I love you. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not thinking about who does what in this church. I know many of you do serve here, you know, in this church. I'm just saying this as an example. I don't understand it. I don't get it. When people say, well, I don't know, I just don't have the time to serve. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I'm sorry, I don't. And I'm not like attacking somebody. I'm just saying the spirit of excellence will always make a servant out of somebody. The spirit of Christ, you know, when the disciples asked him, said, who's greatest in heaven? He says, those that are greatest among you is he that doth serve. Quoting the King James, right? Amen. Not trying to be harsh on anybody, not trying to be harsh. But I, you know, again, that spirit of excellence. Why? The scripture says, add to your faith, add excellence. Yes. Add that virtue. These are just some simple examples of what virtue will do. Amen. Excellence will make you want to lift the burden off from others. Amen. I want to lift burdens off people's lives. You know, those that I serve under, my pastors, I want to lift burdens off their life. Oh, man, God forbid I'm ever creating a burden for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. The spirit of excellence makes a servant out of us because excellence always brings value to relationships. It always does. You should be a servant with your spouse. You know, you should be a servant in your home. Help people. Take burdens off. Serve in your church. Serve your department leader. Who, I don't care what it is. See, the Bible says, make sure you add to your faith excellence. Because if you don't, your faith is going to obviously struggle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Excellence, here's another example. Oh boy, now we're going to dig a little bit deeper. Excellence will not align with someone who's speaking against your spouse, speaking against your family, or speaking against anybody you're loyal to. Excellence will not sit there and agree with somebody who's speaking against somebody that you're in covenant with. Doesn't mean you got to get in a fight over it. I've had, you know, over the years, you know, I've had, you know, people, you know, when we first started pastoring, I don't know, it must just be a rite of passage for pastors' wives or something. But when we first started pastoring, there was just people that, I don't know, they would act one way to me and they would act a whole different way to my wife. They'd be smiley and all this, you know, lovey-dovey to the pastor, but then, and nobody in here, by the way, just so you know. Right, they're not here anymore. That's right, Kelly. You know what I mean? And it wasn't, you know what I mean. But people would just, you know, treat her one way. And a couple of times it got to the point where I literally approached him and said, just so you know, you can't have it both ways here. The way you treat her is the way you treat me. You can be all smiles with me and then, you know, run her through the mud. I'm just going to tell you, I'm for her before I'm ever before for you. Yeah. Folks, you should have that heart with your spouse. I'm for them before her, before I'm ever, you know, for you, and meaning somebody who's speaking against them. You know, honestly, over the years, I've had people that have come to me and try to say things against my pastor. I'm not having it. I'm not having it. Well, I don't like this. I don't care what you like or don't like. I don't care what you don't like. Oh, I'm just going to say something really ruthless. You come against my pastor, I will come against you. I will. I will not take it kindly. I will not. I'm sorry. So we'll say, Pastor, is your pastor perfect? No. Pastor, are you a perfect pastor? No. Are you going to see my faults? Yes. Are you going to see his faults? Yes. Are we all going to see each other's faults? Yes. I tell you what, but if you don't have a sense of loyalty, what are you worth? What are you worth? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. You know, I'm loyal to my parents. I'm loyal to my parents. That's right. Don't get me talking about my mommy now. I'll start crying. You know, my dad too. Praise the Lord. You know what? I'm going to say this too. You want to really get me crying? You know, there's been, I mean, there's individually, you know, there's people even in this room that people, oh my goodness, over the years, I don't mean people in the church, I mean people outside of the church. You know, so-and-so that goes to your church? Stop right there. And you know what? Folks, how many of you remember, we were just preaching in Numbers chapter 13, and the spies that went into the land, they brought an evil report. And their report wasn't even untrue. Their report was actually factual. There's been people that have come to me and ripped some people to shreds, and even some of the things they were saying was even true. I stop them right there. I sat down with somebody that had been in this church for a very long time, and the words came out of his mouth and said, you know what? And he started to talk about literally the people of this church. And I said, stop right there. Stop right there. And started to go into this very critical thing. I don't care if everything you're about to say is true and accurate. See, loyalty does not allow people to spew garbage against people you love. Loyalty, why? Excellence, that's one definition of the word. Dependable, trustworthy. Folks, you should be the type of person, I should be the type of person, when you are in somebody's corner, they should know it. They should know it. You know, your spouse and your kids should know that you're in their corner. Your parents should know. Your church family should know. Your pastor should know. They should know they're in their, you're in their corner. You know, literally, you know what it is when you're in the corner? I don't mean like when you get sent to the corner when you're, yeah, like when you're in school. Reverend Justin obviously knows what that means. Praise the Lord. I was a school teacher. I had this thing, man. I wasn't a teacher. I didn't send kids to the corner. You know, I didn't. If I needed to deal with it, I'd just send you out. You know, I wasn't really big into that. I'm not talking about being in the corner because you're being disciplined. It's more like this. How many of you ever seen a boxing match? You know what I mean? How many of you know they have corner guys? They have one guy that's there who's called the cut man. You know who the cut man is? The cut man, he has those little Q-tips and he knows how to use the Vaseline and other things, how to repair cuts on the face of a fighter. The other guy's putting a cold steel. You know what a cold steel is? You ever see one of those guys, they put that, it's literally a chunk of steel that has a curve in it. They set it in a cooler, it's sitting on ice, and when a fighter sits down in the corner, in their corner, they put the cold steel on the back of their neck because it's a shock to their nervous system. It literally revives them and gives them like an instant energy. And then you'll have a guy over there with the water and the guy with the bucket. You know, you always wonder, why don't they just drink that water? They spit most of it out because they don't want to get cramps. You say, Pastor, how do you know all this? You know, one time I actually was a corner guy, not in my Christian life. All right, not that, you know what I mean. But this was a long, long time ago when I was in my early 20s. I went and was asked to be a corner guy for a fight down in Fort Lauderdale, California. And it was going to be this guy's last fight before he retired. And he went up against a former middleweight champion and got his butt kicked. And the guy that I was in the corner with, his name was Jimmy Dorsey. And I was in the corner, and that was his last fight. He lost hard, and he lost his eyesight in one eye during that fight. It was his last fight, but his retina separated from his eyeball, and it was pretty gruesome. But when he comes over there and sits down, you only have a few seconds, right? You're the corner guy. You're helping him. You're lifting burdens. You're bringing, you know, kind of reviving. Yeah. Folks, let's be in somebody's corner. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's going to be people, your spouse, your pastor, your boss. I mean, people in life that are going to need to be refreshed. That's what that cold steel does. There was a famous, Pastor Tim, I didn't realize you were so into boxing. I'm not. I was when I was a kid growing up. I grew up in the era of Mike Tyson. Everybody had to watch Mike Tyson fight, right? And so there was that one fight, I forget who he was up against, and he lost, and the guy in his corner forgot the cold steel and didn't have the cold steel when he's supposed to have it. And so Mike Tyson sat down waiting, because that burst of cold on the back of your neck, it sends a shock through your nervous system. And so this guy tried to just take a balloon filled with cold water and do the same, but it didn't have the same effect. Folks, whoever you're in the corner for and with, you know, when they sit down, have the cold steel, so to speak. Refresh them. It's a bad illustration, I know. Right? Excellence will always want to lift a burden for somebody. Excellence will always want to refresh somebody. Amen. Many marriages would have been spared if one or both had this spirit of excellence. Show your spouse that they're valuable to you. Amen. Even if that value comes through making the house look nice or cleaning up or helping or whatever, it's worth it. It's worth it. Reverend Justin, do the dishes. Not that. My wife's over there thinking right now, Pastor Tim, you do the dishes. Folks, these are just kind of simple things. We're just making a point here. You know what's going to happen. You know what's happening. I mean, we do have a dishwasher, but why do we always do the dishes before putting them in the dishwasher? That's the one thing I never understood. You know that? I mean, in our house, it's like, I mean, I'm sponging that, I'm soaping it down, I'm rinsing it, and then it goes into the dishwasher. I'm always thinking, wait a minute. I thought this machine was supposed to do this for me. Praise the Lord. But if pitching in, if helping out, if it shows value, do it, right? If it shows value for your, you know, your boss at work, do it. Excellence is always moral. Excellence is always controlled. Excellence is always slow to react. Amen. Excellence is never two-faced and never talking out of both sides of your mouth. Don't say one thing about somebody publicly and then a different thing to them privately. Oh my goodness. Don't get me going on that. How about I won't tell a story about myself? I'll just tell a story about Dr. Dufresne. I love this story. Dr. Dufresne called being, you know, two-faced, he called it shucking and jiving. Be careful how you say that, all right? Be careful. You don't want to get a tongue twister with that one. But Dr. Dufresne, he told this story, and, you know, there's things that he never did tell. You know, I was privy to several situations. I'll tell a story. He was in California. He was next-door neighbors to another preacher. There was another minister whose property literally came right up to his. And this guy, I know these are details that he shared publicly. And so I'm at liberty. I'm not mentioning names or whatever. But this guy started to go to Doctor's church and started to spend time there and started to even minister there. And all this stuff, and even tried to raise large amounts of money for doctor's ministry and all this stuff. And so Dr. Dufresne started to feel like, oh, wow, you know, this guy, you know, is really, you know, doing wonderful things, and I'm just grateful for him and all this stuff. But then at home, he put a lawsuit on Dr. Dufresne for property that was Dr. Dufresne's. I mean, it was no doubt. It was on the thing. And so this guy kept claiming it was his and his. And what was not shared too often was that Dr. Dufresne went to this man in order to keep peace, order to just be a blessing. He said, you know what? We'll rearrange it. We'll redraw it on the map. You know, we'll get a surveyor out here and you can just have it. Dr. Dufresne then went and he paid all the money to have this work done. He paid $50,000 just to keep peace with that man. Oh my goodness. The stuff that he did, that, you know, he was just gracious. He was trying to like keep, you know, people from fighting and all this stuff. One time there was this guy that, you know, ripped him up, sent him this letter, you know, really went after him and all these things. And then they were both at this big conference together with all these special guest ministers. And there was like a half a dozen ministers all standing up by the platform, and Dr. Dufresne was standing there, and this guy who sent him this really nasty letter came up to Dr. Dufresne with everybody. He's like, hey there, hey, Dr. Ed. And Dr. Dufresne just stood there and just was like, you know, just looked at his hand and looked at him and didn't shake his hand. And he's like, the doctor just said, you know, I think it's funny how, you know, you ripped me to shreds in a letter, but when we're all up here in front of all these guys, all of a sudden you're my best friend. He said, stop shucking and jiving. No, it's true. Excellence does not talk one way about someone when they're not around and then a totally different, you know. Folks, I won't go into the stories of people that have done that to me. The things they'll say to me, you know, privately and then publicly, Anyway, I won't go into the details, but excellence does not speak out of both sides of your mouth. We're not two-faced. Amen. We're people that want to serve. We want to refresh people. We want to lift burdens. We want to make, you know, the place better, whether it's your home, church, or your office. Be a blessing. Amen. Put on the servant's apron. Amen. That's all we're going to go. We're going to go into the knowledge, but I mean, we can just, that's a good place to unhook right there. Folks, spirit of excellence. Add excellence and virtue to your faith. Add virtue and excellence to your faith. Let's go ahead. Let's all just stand up and let's pray and we'll get ready to receive the offering in that. But I just feel like there's something more that we got to pray out here. Father God, we just bless you. We glorify you. Father, you are holy and good. Lord, we want to be honorable people. And Lord, I know sometimes in the ears of people, they hear stuff like this and they think that it's harsh or condemning. Father, that's obviously not our goal. But Father, we want to walk in a virtuous life. We want to overcome every moral conflict. We want to walk in that peace and that well-being, that state of spiritual prosperity. Father, having all necessary help. Father, we just bless you, glorify you. Father, we want to be people of integrity, people of excellence and virtue, dependable, trustworthy. Father, I hope there's many people that just know that I'm in their corner. Ready to, when they come out of the fight, that I'm there to refresh them. That when the chips are down, I'm for them. Father, we just praise you. Father, we want to be that person. Ready to lift someone's burdens. If somebody attacks our spouse or people that we're in covenant with, we defend them with love. Father, we don't align ourselves with people that are trying to speak against someone that we're loyal to. You just don't get involved in that drama. We seek peace. Father, we just praise you, glorify you, trustworthy, dependable, on time, lifting burdens, being loyal, being honorable. Thank you, Lord God. You said to add this to our faith. These are the elements that make faith work. This is the heart and the soul of faith. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. No more unnecessary living. Father, thank you for the things that you've given us to richly enjoy. Thank you so much. We just bless you. Thank you for your goodness. But Father, we do not chase carnal things over sacred things. Father God, we put you first. We love you with all of our heart. We're submitted and we're yielded to you, ready to put on the servant's apron. Excellence will always make a servant out of somebody. Father, because we put value on relationships and people. We put value on the things of God. We put value on worship. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Father, thank you for this opportunity to sow into the house of God. Thank you, Lord, that we've been taught the word and now it's right for us to give. And Father, as we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, yes, yes. You don't need a change, you need a change of heart. You don't need a change of location. You don't need a change of proximity. You need a change of heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You don't need a change of relationships. You need a change of heart. Lord, how often when we get pressured in this life, we make the mistake of trying to change all the things on the outside. Lord, you're telling us tonight, if you want the outside to change, change the inside first. Father, change comes from the inside out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, you are faithful and you are good. Thank you for all that you've done and said tonight. We receive this word. We see what we need to add to our faith. Virtue, excellence, trustworthiness, dependability, honor, loyalty, serving, being on time, valuing people. Yes, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, thank you for this opportunity to sow this seed. We just thank you. All of our needs are met. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. We'll be dismissed here in just a moment. Guys, don't forget, hey, less than 48 hours from now, we're going to start our men's night Friday, 6:30, right here in the sanctuary, and then we'll move up to the youth center, and we're going to eat. We've got some activities planned. It's going to be a fun time. Guys, go ahead, and if there's somebody that you want to bring, they didn't have a chance to sign up, bring them anyway. We're somewhere in that neighborhood of around 115 guys. So, woo, here we go. Glory to God. You thought the ladies' night was big stuff. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. It was great stuff. Amen. And more to come. We're looking forward to more events like that in 2024. It's going to be good. Folks, we love you. God bless you. You're dismissed.